The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
As you know, I try to stay away from the politics as much as I can, unless it's something important, newsworthy, and this certainly is. Here is the headline today. From Nancy Pelosi, House will move to transmit impeachment articles next week. Really? Seriously? Now, do you remember when the House started these impeachment proceedings? The Republicans repeatedly, and I mean repeatedly, over and over and over again, said, whoa, what's the hurry? Slow down. Let's do this methodically. Let's do this constitutionally. What is the hurry? And Nancy Pelosi and Schiff says, "Oh, we got to do this quickly. This is urgent. We got to move this on. We can't wait." Remember that? I mean, it was back and forth. Republicans say, "What? Well, slow down. What's the hurry? Oh, we got to hurry. And then, of course, they voted to impeach the president on party lines. And then Nancy Pelosi said, "Well, we're not going to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate because we can't be assured that there'd be a fair trial." Now, I'm not an expert on anything. I keep telling you that, and you probably all know that if you are regular listeners. But you don't have to be an authority to know that the House of Representatives deals with voting to impeach. The Senate has nothing to do with that. Nothing. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. That is completely within the realm of the House of Representatives. Can you imagine if Mitch McConnell had marched over to the House of Representatives, to Nancy Pelosi, and said, "You know, we here in the Senate, we want to be involved here in the hearings in the House of Representatives. We want you to listen to us in developing the rules, the regulations, who's going to testify and all that." Nancy Pelosi would have had a fit. And rightfully so. But then she turns right around and says to Mitch McConnell, "Well, I'm not going to give you the articles of impeachment until you tell me how you're going to handle this. Who are the witnesses going to be? What are the rules going to be?" "Excuse me, Speaker Pelosi, that's none of your business." That falls under the jurisdiction totally, completely, absolutely of the Senate. The House votes for articles of impeachment. They are sent to the Senate. The Senate handles the trial. That's why we have the House of Representatives and the Senate. That's why our founding fathers designed it that way. But she's been sitting on them, and I think making a fool of herself. And she's been doing it long enough that Democrats in the Senate have begun saying, "Speaker Pelosi, this is making all of us look like dummies." So anyway, Nancy Pelosi announced today that, quote, she will take steps next week to send impeachment articles to the Senate. In a letter to her colleagues in the House of Representatives, she says, "I have asked Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler to be prepared to bring to the floor next week a resolution to appoint managers and transmit articles of impeachment to the Senate. I will be consulting with you at our Tuesday House Democratic Caucus meetings on how to proceed further. So is there any assurance the articles of impeachment are actually going to be delivered to the Senate next week? No. She is just going to begin the process. But a whole host of Democratic senators have been saying, let's get this over with. Let's, you know, Pelosi, you're making all of us look bad. So anyway, when will the trial in the Senate begin? Have no idea. She is going to begin the process of transmitting the impeachment articles to the Senate next week. So we will see. We'll see. For if you have any interest in American government or history, it's going to be fascinating to watch because this is history. It's only happened three times in American history. This will be the third time it has ever happened in our history. And it's going to be absolutely fascinating to watch. We already know what the outcome is going to be. Unless something absolutely cataclysmically dramatic happens, the Senate is going to find the president not guilty. It is possible that once the articles of impeachment arrive in the Senate, it is possible that they may be just dismissed out of hand and the trial won't even be held. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's possible. I think there will be a trial. I think it will be very short, and the president will be acquitted. And it's, I started to say it's over. Several House Democrats have implied they're going to start it all over again. Yeah, they're going to start the whole impeachment thing all over again. Reminder of the old song, when will it ever end? When will it ever end? And we don't know. Here's an update on a story that we dealt with a couple of weeks ago. Some of you heard about the Netflix Brazil movie. And there was a lot of misunderstanding about this, that it was an American movie put out by Netflix, and that's not true. It was the Brazilian arm of Netflix put out a movie that was absolutely blasphemous. In the movie, Jesus was a homosexual. It's called The First Temptation of Christ. It was a terrible, horrible, awful thing. Over 1 million people signed a petition to block this thing. But again, it was in Portuguese. It was in Brazil. A lot of people thought it was English and it was an American. No, it was in Brazil. But a Brazilian judge, this happened yesterday. A Brazilian judge has ordered Netflix to remove from its streaming platform The First Temptation of Christ. The ruling was actually reached on Wednesday, but handed down yesterday by Judge Benedicto Abacare in Rio de Janeiro. It only applies to Brazil. Now, I don't know that it has English subtitles, but it was recorded, filmed in Portuguese. But a judge in Brazil has said, nope. It is too offensive to too many people. It would cause too much harm to people's religious belief. The lawsuit was brought by a large Catholic organization in Brazil, and a Brazilian judge has sided with this large Catholic organization and has ruled that Netflix must immediately remove this blasphemous movie. You might want to talk about this, discuss it. If this happened in the United States, would this be censorship? Would it be a violation of the Constitution? I think probably it would. Although I would hate it, I would despise it, I don't think I would back making it illegal for a whole host of reasons. I would just hope it would die a natural death, and it probably would. But this is in Brazil. But we had talked about it. I wanted to bring you up to date. Some good news on the cancer front. Did you hear this? The American Cancer Society has just released their latest report on cancer in America. And it's very good news. We'll be right back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
How about some good news? Cancer is still the dreaded C word. We've heard it in our family. I will never, ever, ever, ever forget the time Joy had a lump on her throat just before Christmas one year. It's been several years ago. Went and got a biopsy, and they first said, well, it doesn't look like it's bad. We think it's going to be okay, but come back for the final results. And we went back. The doctor came in with the chart in his hand. Had not looked at it first, came into the room, into the examination room, opened the chart, and said, oh, Mrs. Burney, you have cancer. And at that time, the beeper, remember the beepers? Pagers? It went off. And I'm not kidding you. He opens the chart, reads it, and says, oh, Mrs. Burney, you have cancer. The beeper goes off, and he says, excuse me, I'll be back. And leaves and shuts the door. Never forget that. And we're there looking, what does that mean? How bad is it? What kind of cancer? You know, praise God. Joy has been cancer-free now for many years. And it's not nearly as serious, but many years ago, I went to a skin doctor. Because I had some spots on my face that someone said, you know, you need to get that checked out. And a dermatologist in Westerville did a biopsy and came into the room and says, oh, well, the biopsy was cancer, but you don't have to worry about it. I'm going, what? And it wasn't anything to worry about. It was skin cancer, but it was not melanoma. And I've had probably 30 skin cancers taken off, frozen off, or whatever since then. It's no big deal. But often cancer is a big deal. There are hundreds of different kinds of cancer. But here's some really good news. Modern medicine has developed therapies for cancer that we never dreamed of. Cancer is no longer automatically a death sentence. Now, still, some forms of cancer are far, far more serious than others. And there are certain kinds of cancer that the diagnosis is almost always fatal. But those kinds of cancers are becoming more and more and more rare. Here's the headline. 26-year decline in cancer mortality includes largest single-year drop on record, the American Cancer Society says. The story begins, deaths from cancer have gradually decreased over the last 26 years. And by the way, that has decreased every single year for 26 years. Now, again, if you're facing cancer this may not be good news to you, and I don't mean to, I am not in any way diminishing or making light of cancer, but I am saying there is good news. Deaths from cancer have gradually decreased over the last 26 years, with the largest single-year drop ever recorded in the last decade. The death rate in the U.S. declined by a full 29% from 1991 to 2017, according to the annual statistics from the American Cancer Society. The health organization said this was due to long-term drops in death rates in the four most common types of cancer: lung, colorectal, breast, and prostate. Wow. The American Cancer Society said this steady drop, quote, translates into an estimated 2.9 million fewer cancer deaths compared to if the rate was at its peak in 1991. If that rate had persisted, there would be another 2.93 million more people would be dying with cancer if we were still at the death rate from 1991. Quote, deaths fell from about 3% per year from 2008 to 2013, 5% from 2013 to 2017 in men, and from 2% to almost 4% in women. However, lung cancer is still the leading cause of cancer death, which, by the way, is one of the most preventable forms of cancer. Now, it is true that occasionally someone who has never smoked gets lung cancer. We had a dear friend, never smoked, diagnosed with lung cancer, dead 4 weeks to the day after the diagnosis. But that's rare. Lung cancer is one of the most preventable forms of cancer, and that is the leading cause of cancer. So the good news is, the number one leading cause of cancer is mostly preventable. So while cancer still has devastating results for so many families, and Joy and I know of a couple of people near to us that are battling cancer, so it certainly hasn't gone away. But we can be very, very thankful that things are looking better. Things are looking better. And that is good news. Top of the hour break. We'll take about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. I may go down the hall and get a drink. And then we will reconvene right after the top of the hour break.